my Ocean of Love was actually co-written by Robert Miranda, who's up here helping me with the song. Can you program it? The words are printed on the back and there's a chorus. I sing the first verse, hopefully you sing along the chorus with me. Little bird, fly to the moon.
Oh, from join me in acknowledging the responsible, reliable, loving care that Ernell Jones and Victor Rodriguez gave him the last weeks of his life. And the hospice people, Dr. King Riley, and his wife, hospice nurse Sue Romo. You did and do noble work. Thank you. None of us shared what we were going to say today, at least, I mean, talking about the family, so there's going to be a little repetition, but I am unable to change my remarks. I have to talk about this. I want to talk about Frank and the love in his life. Frank loved his life, he loved his work, and he loved to tell the stories about his life and work. And if you haven't heard them, then you haven't been around. He wanted to live to be at least 100, if not 113. In his 70s, he promised me he would retire and take care of me when he was 95. He loved his parents, his siblings, his children and grandchildren, and mine. And the pronoun was always our children and grandchildren. He loved the men and women working for peace and justice around the world. And he had a special place in his heart for the men and women working for peace and justice in this country. He loved chocolate, raisin pie, dogs, onion sandwiches, and he loved a shower before and after mowing the lawn. He loved music, and I guess all of you know now by the references made by others, especially Tony, he loved music, and he started losing his hearing when he was 6, and by the time he was in his early 20s, he hadn't heard much music, really. So when he got a hearing aid, a humongous hearing aid, he was able to learn and love and appreciate music, starting with Bach, Beethoven, Benny Goodman, Paul Robeson, and more recently, Ry Cooder, Chavez Rabin, and always the voices of his children. He loved to drive. I could never figure out whether he thought of it as an art form or physical exercise. He was constantly changing lanes, tailgating, and looking about to see who might be watching him exceed the speed limit. When he was in his early 80s, we had a trip to Italy. By plan, the first part was a guided tour, and then the rest of the time, we were going to drive about Italy, and I was going to be doing the driving. When we went to pick up the car, they didn't have the automatic shift that I had requested, and I was horrified. My God, I hadn't driven a stick shift in years. Frank said, "Don't worry, I'll drive, you be the navigator." Well, the trip was wonderful. We had a glorious time. There were no accidents or arrests, just miracles. Frank loved to play Scrabble, gin, as in martini and or with tonic. He loved the Lakers, trees, architecture, secretly the Dodgers. He loved UCLA and Los Angeles. Oh my God, he loved Los Angeles. He loved chocolate, and I know I'm repeating. It merits it. He loved chocolate. And he loved being recognized for his work. He loved being recognized for his work. It made him feel that there were some people out there that didn't think he was trying to overthrow the government by force and violence. You're supposed to laugh. In 1984, he was to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award for his work in civil liberties and in defense of the First Amendment by the Playboy Foundation. And with it came a check for $3,000, which was a lot of money for Frank. He agonized. He said, "Donna, I don't think I can accept this. You know, Playboy is sexist." Well, he talked with some of his civil libertarian friends, men and women, I'm sure Ramona, and it was decided that he could accept the award if he did something worthwhile with the money. Frank was so pleased, he accepted the award, and he gave the money to Women Against Violence Against Women. Cherished his friends, and he had many friends, and I would begin to name names because we don't do that in our family. In 1925, when Frank's family came here, he met a young man. They were 11 years old. That would mean it's an 80-year-old friendship plus. And that friend is here today, Scotty Tucker.
I'm going to ask Kit Gage to come up here now. because I thought this would be the hardest part of the program, which is, let's see, being absolutist about the First Amendment. We do believe in your right to speak, but Kit is really good about that. Isn't that about what the length of your speaking is? You do have the right to speak. So, and also, this is where I'm going to try to remember what Lila told me, which is that we'd like to actually have the grandchildren come up first as a group, and I believe there are a lot of them, and Wilkinson and Childers and Nakowitz's, and it's either Eli Nakowitz or Tyler who's going to start off here. But you know, this is the great thing about generations. They're in charge now, so they'll figure it out. Oh, and I really want to speak up there. That way you can see me.
I guess, first of all, I should thank all the great speakers. Hopefully, I've got all the tears out of my system now. And thanks to my sister for letting me try this jersey with her scarf. We've heard a lot of great political and civil achievements about Frank, and we've also heard a lot about the wonderful family man he was and how great a husband he was to Donna. And I've been asked by Sarah Cooper and Donna to read to you a poem that I wrote 10 years ago for Frank for his 82nd birthday. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to read just as it was written. Once every year the fall comes around, the leaves change their color and drop to the ground. The school year starts up as summer fades away, and daylight gets shorter and shorter each day. But during the summer, while it is still here, it is one of our most favorite days of the year. Because one day of summer, August 16th in fact, is the day of Frank's birthday. No joking, it's fact. So this year, when autumn's lazy days come round, Frank will have 82 years in his crown. So to remember his birthday, his life, and give all our thanks, here are 82 reasons why we all love Frank. You ready? We'll add live at the end. He stood up for himself when no one else did, and he fought through hearing problems when he was a kid. He obeys the law and respects the earth while treating everyone equal, no matter their worth. He has traveled the world, even all 50 states, but still works at his office and works there till late. And he's so cute when he's eating a piece of his raisin pie. And we all know he never fibs or tells little white lies. He's quiet but heard when he speaks out. And he's gentle to everyone. He never shouts. He is the Hershey's chocolate man. He can eat more M&Ms than anyone can. We all know he's brave when it comes to making his fudge. And in arguments with Donna, he never will budge. If you're in a dispute, he's always on your side. And he stood up for integration, even when he knew he'd be tried. He served time in jail so America would be a better place, an equal opportunity for every race. And he loves watching sports on the dead TV and never acts out, being stubborn or mean. In a world full of copies, he's an original, and he's happy to take out the trash when it's full. He loves washing dishes, odd as it may seem, and he fought for the homeless of Chavez Ravine. He puts up with Donna, and if that's not enough, he sticks out through everyone else's guff. He's often happy, rarely sad, very good, and never bad. He enjoys helping others in his free time. He's done so much yard work, by now it's a crime. He's kind, sincere, loving, brilliant, cute, helpful, smart, caring, and fun. Bravado, hardworking, independent, and is a respectful son of a gun. He always shares in large amounts. He'll help you on his own account. If you ask something of him, you'll have it, no ifs, ands, or buts. And he'll always help you out of your struggles, your ruts. If your head is hung low, he'll cheer you up. If you ever need to talk, you can tell him what's up. He's a real-life Superman without a cape. And for 82, he's in pretty damn good shape. He'll support you through the thick and thin, even if you're hurt and life's done you in. He's generous, strong, sensitive, well-spoken, and is always there, even when life isn't treating you fair. He's a lover of life and lives to the fullest, and when it comes to grandfathers, he's one of the best. He'll surrender the remote to watch our favorite show, and if you need to be somewhere, he's ready to go. He's snappy, fancy, handsome, and tart, daring, playful, and often shows heart. And of course, he loves his family too, and that's why we love you, Frankie Pooh.
All of us put together a collection of memories of Grandpa, not Frank. And I just wanted to read them to you guys. It's funny, it was only a few of us that put them together, and everybody seems to share the same one, so here they are. First of all, listening to his stories over and over. Riding his bike from Palestine to London, being seduced by nuns on the way. Gin and tonics on Highway 5. Naked dishwashing, his world-famous hot fudge sundaes, double chili cheese dogs with extra onions, the slum tour drag-alongs, cheating at cards, scrabble, pit, spoons, and every other game. And standing in line to shave his face with an electric razor, taking his hearing aid out and giving us time to cuss and call him names. I remember clenching the back seat while he drove the streets of LA, so I didn't remember that. Christmas with Frank and Donna, giant tins of caramel popcorn, honey baked hams, and boxes of chocolate. Speaking in his grandchildren's classroom, show and tell grandpa. His lake of love, for sure. Ping pong on the patio. Seeing him sleep in his black leather chair, doing yard work for rolls of quarters. Hearing him shout out his favorite phrase, Donna! His legacy of stolen wool airplane blankets, been said before, his inspirational life, his history, his grandpa-ness, his voice, his laugh, his love of chocolate, the photo of him and Martin Luther King, Etterdale Drive, the circle, the reservoir, many hors d'oeuvres, pickled herring and crackers, back rubs and extra salt. And 2 weeks before he died, he looked around the table at everyone and he said, "We love each other. We all really love each other. It's almost disgusting how much we all love each other."